Hello and welcome back to Trish Talk. Hi, I am Patricia and you are tuning into Trish Talk. We did have a little break because it was reading week and I hope everybody enjoyed their reading week. I hope everybody had a productive, well-rested reading week. Honestly, scratch that productive part because we have spent majority of the semester, the start of the semester pretty much grinding, working our hardest, giving our best. I know 100% all of you were, so I hope you were well rested this reading week instead. What did I do this reading week? Honestly, I again rested. I made a proud move, not to brag or nothing, and I know at this big grown age I'm at, I shouldn't have to brag about this, but I did delete Snapchat for a little bit. Thank you. I was quite excited. And it was actually quite refreshing. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, if you just get off your phone and like observe the world or something, like da da da. And like, okay, I already do that. Like, but I just enjoy it being on my phone. But like, when you actually for real put your phone down and like don't have something to like run to when like you want to escape this regular reality, it's quite insightful. So I did enjoy my little Snapchat hiatus. I'm still kind of on it a little bit. But again, it's great. If you are thinking about it, I would honestly encourage it. Take some time. It does give you also some time to reflect, especially if you're like a filters person. I'm not. But if you're a filters person, just take a break. Like, delete the app. Mute it if you need to. Just turn it off. Shut it off. Okay, so what do I have for you today? There's been a lot of pretty good news that has been flying through the media, the net, over these past, 2 weeks? So, I don't want to bombard y'all too much because I still am sick. I know the last week I did say I was a little bit sick, but I'm still recovering, surprisingly, 2 weeks later of this sickness. So, we'll see how that goes. So, to start on this week's episode of Trish Talk, what do we have for you? Wendy Williams' docu-series. Wendy Williams, if you do not know, is a... Honestly, I think this she's honestly earned the status of as a public icon because of all of the work she's done, all of the iconic lines, all of the iconic scenes, all of the iconic inside scoop she's given us. I do think she's dubbed and earned the title as a public icon. But yeah, she's a public icon, a pop figure icon, a entertainment icon who ran a talk show. She had the Wendy Williams Show. I don't even know what channel it aired on because, again, I didn't really for real watch it like that. I was a YouTube clips girl, TikTok clips girl. Like, I would watch clips of it on the net, like on social media and stuff. So, but yeah, she was a public icon. She is a public icon still, and had a talk show where she would discuss other celebrities. Honestly, we're just going to dub her a reporter, a journalist per se, because that's exactly what she did. She reported on celebrities, but see, she did do it a little bit more shady where it was like, allegedly, like, honestly, if someone was to be like deemed the creator of blind items, I would probably say it'd be Wendy Williams because she's sometimes majority of the time is very messy. Like some of her interviews, even, you know what, I'll give her credit though. She is public and messy to the celebrity's face, but yeah, she was notorious for that. So, she came out with a docu-series. It was originally, supposed to be produced by her, about her making a debut return to coming back to the media and coming back to the public eye because she did take a break. But then she was unfortunately diagnosed with dementia and aphasia. And then we later find out in the series that it is alcohol-induced dementia. So she did, yeah. So she was very vulnerable with us throughout the series. Again, I only watched maybe 20 minutes, not even, because I don't know, I just feel like it's very invasive. I don't know, any like docu-series, any like true crime. Like, I do watch true crime, and I do watch, like, for real ones. Like, I watch, like, the Aaron Hernandez one, like, the Gabriel documentary. I forget his last name. I apologize. But, like, I did watch those documentaries and stuff. But it's just, like, I don't know. This just feels so, like, personal. Like, it's, like, I see, like, I watched you. Like, I watched you for years. Like, and this is what I'm getting, like, this is what I'm seeing you as. Like, I don't know, I just felt like it's very invasive. And I don't know, I feel like, yeah, she signed on to, as a producer, to produce, obviously, a docuseries about her life, but it's, like, did she sign on for it to be, like, her at this stage? Like, how much of this did she sign on to do and to, like, have revealed to us cognitively? Like, how much of this was she, like, aware of? Like, right now, that's going to be, like, aired to all of us. I don't know. I just think it's very invasive. Same thing with, like, Bruce Willis. Like, all the stuff that they're doing with him, I'm just like, come on. Like, I get it. Like, they are public figures. And, like, us as the public obviously are, like, asking our questions. And, like, oh, we want to know. We want to see them, da-da-da. But it's, like, you as the family have the final say and are this, hopefully, the voice of the right voice for these people. And you know them best, so you should know, like, they probably wouldn't want the public to be seeing them like this. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember when Wendy Williams was in the public trending for her cankles. Like, this was, 2018, 2019, just before her diagnosis and before she, like, disappeared from the media. But, like, even then, she wasn't too happy about it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like these, like, celebrities and stuff don't want us to see them, like, at their lowest like this. And, again, obviously it's important to be vulnerable, but, like, look at what, like, Celine Dion did. Like, she let us know about her diagnosis. She let us know how vulnerable, like, she was vulnerable with us, but she didn't need to do the whole, like, docuseries. I don't know, like, raise awareness, yes, but, like, to a certain point it just feels like exploitation. Like, I don't know how much of a cash grab do y'all need from this girl? Like, and also, like, her conservatorship, like, that's another point I listed on my cue card. But it's rumored that, well, Wells Fargo apparently came out and said that they didn't put her in a conservatorship. But, like, I don't know. There's just so much about this that I'm like, I don't know. And, like, some people on the internet and some YouTubers that I watch have came out and made their own, you know, gave their two cents about the docuseries, about what her diagnosis and everything. And people are being quite supportive. People are, you know, being quite empathetic to the fact that, like, regardless of, yes, her crazy mouth, like, this isn't something you, like, the way someone should be remembered. This isn't the way that someone just final days, and who's to say, you know, she's passing away, but, like, this isn't the way someone's, like, image should be, you know? Like, you shouldn't have to be reduced to, I don't know, just, like, a disease. Like, I don't know, it's just whatever. But then there's also the other half of the internet, as you know, because the internet is, well, honestly, there's more than two sides, but there really is just, for this point, two sides. People that are like, she, you know, you're empathetic and supportive. And then there's also the people that are like, well, this is what happens when you have a crazy mouth and you wish bad on people. And, you know, I'm not the one to say, like, anything like that, because I'm like, you know what, like, I hate when bad things happen to anybody. Like, bad things shouldn't happen to anybody, but they can happen to anybody. If you're a good person, if you're a bad person, if you're a okay person, like, whatever, bad things can happen to you, good things can happen to you. But some people on the internet are getting quite vile and spewing a lot of vitriol about her diagnosis and saying, like, yeah, it's deserved because she spent majority of her adult life spewing hate and negativity and harmful rhetorics about people's character, about people's personality, about people's families, about people's looks, all of this. So this is her way to go. But then it's like, there's so many other celebrities that do the same. Like, Azalea Banks is just the first to come to mind. But it's like, God forbid. But it's like, do we really want these bad things to happen to these people that are, like, you know, have, like, obviously, yes, we consider it as bullying, but it's also, like, majority of the time they have, like, just a different mindset, but I guess, yeah, bullying. But do we really want all of these bad things to happen to the bullies? And again, I'm not, I've never been on the receiving end of the Wendy Williams, you know, hate her, Wendy Williams negative rhetoric and stuff that she does. But I don't know, I would just hope the people that she's affected wouldn't wish something like this on her. But I did just quickly Google what a conservatorship is, just to give you a, you and me, because I don't want to feel like I'm putting all the blame on y'all, because I for real don't even know for real what the definition is. But a conservatorship, under U.S. law, a conservatorship results from the appointment of a guardian or protector by a judge to manage the personal or financial affairs of another person who is incapable of fully managing their own affairs due to age or physical or mental limitations. So Wells Fargo, again, like I said, did come out and say that they did not put Wendy Williams in a conservatorship, but again, that was just rumors we were hearing on the internet. But there is a 2-part series to her docuseries, and I'm not too sure when the second part is going to be released, but it's all love and well wishes from Trish Talk to Wendy Williams as a fellow reporter up and coming, you know. And you know, genuinely, she did inspire me to do this. I have very, very many inspirations that have started me to do this, but Wendy Williams is one of them. And just well wishes to her and to her family and prayers. But again, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I hope you would share and tap in and then let us know. But yeah, again, two sides to the internet. I try to stay on the more positive side, especially when it comes to things like this. Happy new month. I forgot to start off that strong. Happy new month. Happy new month. March. Oh, it's spring. Hopefully soon. What? I think it is the 20th is the first day of spring. Oh, I actually don't know. Okay, I guess there's no days that are the first day of spring in March. I guess I was wrong. But it's daylight savings, so, and then St. Patrick's Day, and Good Friday. But yes, happy new month. March is a great, great, great month. It's just a cute little, like, reset month, you know, if you're doing your taxes, you get a nice little refund, you know, you just kind of spring cleaning, snow's kind of melting, you know, prep before our exams. So I hope you enjoy this month. And I hope this month is again bringing prosperity, peace, love, stability, all that good stuff for you. So big ups and prayers for this month. It is also, my brother encouraged me to say this on my show. I can't believe I'm actually doing this, but my brother's birthday is the 20th. So 19 days till that, and we will be doing a little countdown. The 20th is on a Tuesday, I believe, a Wednesday, so the 22nd, we will be doing a cute little birthday shout-out for him. But as the new month starts, I would like to quickly go over the previous month, February, Black History Month. I tried to be so, so encouraging during this Black History Month. One, I would like to say this, February, for me personally, felt so long. It felt so, so tediously long. I don't know why. It just felt honestly, as long as how January usually feels for a lot of people. That's how long February felt for me. It just felt like it was never ending. It was also because I was sick during the week before my reading week, I guess. And then also I was like still recovering on my reading week. So it just felt like I was like bedridden all those days. And I guess it just felt like wasteful, but whatever. Aside from a Black woman being sick during Black History Month, there was just a lot of, I don't know, anti-Black, non-Black supportive things like that was just going on during Black History Month. Like, again, a lot of it is not to be placed on blame on anybody, but again, the Black people that caused it. Nicki Minaj, Meg Thee Stallion. Cardi B also dropped apparently tonight. That is something that is on a later discussion, but I would just like to give a little warm up to that. But yeah, there's just very, very many things that went on during this Black History Month that caused a lot of uproar within the Black community, within my Black spirit. And one of them is a story about Risa Tisa. Now, if you are unsure about Risa Tisa, let me give you a quick synopsis. I can't even say quick because this is a 50-part series that she posted on TikTok using the 10-minute feature. So that is 500 minutes of story time content that she gave us on TikTok. But I will try to my best to do a summary. But honestly, your best bet is just to head on over to TikTok and look up Risa Tisa. That is R-E-E-S-A-T-E-S-A on TikTok. And just, I don't know, put it on 2x speed and watch it. People are trying to watch summaries, but you genuinely can't. There's no way you can watch a summary of one of the 50 parts and really get a full scope of like her emotion and like her description of like how everything is going down. Because again, it's like a story about her life. Would you not want to listen to a story about a person's life from the person? I don't know. That's me personally, but whatever. I will try my best to give a little rundown, but Risa Tisa is a middle-aged Black woman who is, on the hunt for some love. So she heads on over to a Facebook dating group. And honestly, that is red flag number one. But again, I'm not going to hold her to it because, hey, I've done worse. Some of y'all have done worse. We've heard worse. We've seen worse. So we're not going to hold her to it. But she headed on over to Facebook for a little dating group mingle. I don't know. I really don't even know what it is, but and she matched with a man who she dubs and names Legion. this is just the name choice is a little bit funny, seeing as the biblical meaning of a legion is many demons, like the group of demons. So she had met this man on Facebook Marketplace. Felt like it. She met him on Facebook Marketplace. She met him on Facebook dating group and they clicked instantly and they set up a date. All of this does take place in Atlanta, Georgia, or I believe it is Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere in Atlanta. But there's multiple places that this takes story over. But the home base is Atlanta. They had set up a date to go to Cheesecake Factory, I believe. Mind you, I'm getting the details kind of nitty gritty again. I'm referring you to go to her TikTok page. But again, she met up to go with him on a date with him, and on her way to the date, her tire blew. So she had let him know, like, hey, like I can't make it to the date. My tire blew. He came to save the day, fixed her tire, paid to get her tire fixed, all of this, and that immediately was the start of her downfall, where she fell for this man. Throughout her storytelling, she lets us know that he is a pathological liar. And this is important to note because, Legion, demon behavior. He leads her on to believe that he is a VP of a condom company, I believe. And he is this big time, big money man who, is big time VP. It's important to note, she also lets her know that he has a very, very tight-knit relationship with his family and that he constantly is calling his brother every single morning at the booty crack of dawn, 6 a.m. And again, this is just important to note. He lets her know this, and he also shows her because they do move in together quickly. Again, also the story does take place over 2020. So this was peak COVID, when COVID started. So this is when we were pushed into lockdown. So Risa does let us know that she did not want to spend lockdown alone. And she had shacked up, kind of cozied up with Legion. And he moved in with her. He did take over paying the bills. And listen, I'm big on that. That if a man is coming into your life, a man better add something. So he came into her life, swooned her with his lies, but also with like, girl, I'm gonna pay your bills. I would fall for it too. I wouldn't even pay attention to those lies. I understand why it ends up getting as bad as it does in her story, because if a man starts by paying your bills, it's like, what am I questioning you about? And again, as women, we need to maybe put a little bit more in place for us if we do choose to rely on a man to pay our bills. Again, she didn't rely on him. But if we do allow a man to pay a big portion of our bills, rent is a huge portion, I feel like us as women should have some things in place to protect us. But anyways, he decides to take over paying her bills, specifically her rent. And since they moved in together, you know, she observes his patterns and like his day in and day outs. She does start to pick up on some of his lies, like, why is a VP of a condom company putting on cargoed pants and a regular t-shirt? And it's not even polo branded, just a regular like crew neck, like a regular like dress up, not even dress up. It's just like a collared t-shirt and cargo pants and go saying you're going to work as VP. You know, she's never spoken directly to the brother that he speaks to every single morning, but she's speaking directly to him through Legion. So again, questionable, but hey, like, he just maybe doesn't want to talk to me. Like, I'm a new girl in your life, like, whatever. It's your boundaries, whatever. Again, I'm giving a brief synopsis. I don't want to dive too deep into the nitty-gritties of all of this. But one of the biggest, like, throughout the relationship, he makes promises to her saying, you know, it's a big time shot since I'm going to go get an upgrade to a car because, you know, my work gives me a budget, like a car. I can go buy a car on the work's dime and, you know, whatever. I got a $90,000 budget. So he's deciding to go get an Audi, whatever, whatever, whatever. And to try and wow his new woman, he tells her, I want to get you a BMW. I want to pick you any car you would like. Like, let's go car shopping. I want to get you something. And, you know, Risa's car hunting, whatever. She goes to Nissan. Da, 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 da. She ends up going to BMW. She finds a car and she's swooned by a BMW Series 5X with cognac interior, a midnight blue with cognac interior. She sold on it. Legion's like, okay, I'm gonna get it for you. Da 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 da. Weeks are going by, days are going by, months are going by. She's not getting this car. She's asking her man, hey, like, babe, what's going on with this car? Da, 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 da. Oh, don't worry, I'm trying to get it through this. Oh, it's just this is with the bank. Oh, it's just this is with my job. Oh, it's always an excuse when she's asking about this car. And he's just giving her the runaround. And I get it. All of us in our lives, us as women, we've all probably dealt with a Legion, a lying man. A man that is, you know, openly made us a promise. Why? For no reason. Just to give us the runaround. Just to, you know, make us feel like, oh, we got you, we got you. No. But swooning someone this big by like taking them to the dealership, having them pick out the car, having them talk to the dealer, having them like, you know, get the interior, the color they wanted, all of this, like personalize it, like going to the dealer, like pretending like you're putting down a percentage of your paycheck or whatever to this car, like just going the absolute max to the mile, like to pretend to get someone to this car. It just seems so cynical, so sinister. And throughout the story, she also tells us the similar thing happens with a house. Like, he gives her the runaround, pick the house you want, let's go house shopping, like, I want to put a house down, a down payment on a house, da, 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 da. Goes so as far as to put down, or allege to the realtors that he's going to put down $700,000 for a house. $700,000 for a house. Gets a, what we can now find out is fake, bank statement from Chase Bank stating that, like, you are eligible for a $700,000 down payment. Like, why is someone going all of this mile with real people, with real property, just to pretend to do it? We later find out in her story. I don't want to spoil it for anybody who does want to listen, but I just wanted to give the highlights because another part of the story that's important, again, back to the BMW. So, yeah, she was alleged throughout her whole relationship, just made a bunch of big promises throughout her relationship. And again, she's a middle-aged woman. Like, this is a woman who's looking to start a family, settle down, like, you know, just grow old with a man, like, just have that beautiful, I don't know, dream of a life that some people dream of, with a family and a man and a stable career and a house and all of that. So BMW had seen the 50-part series, or had commented on a couple parts of the 50-part series, alleging, implying that they were going to try to gift Risa Tisa or gift Risa Tisa a BMW with the Cognac 5 in, or with the Cognac interior. They had also made a video saying or implying again that they were on their way to fix Risa Tisa's problems. Now, people did speculate on Reddit in the comment section of the video and just had made their own videos speculating that this they probably wouldn't give Risa a car because there's probably some like legal issues that would arise from that where they if they were to just give her a car. But then people were also rebuttaling saying like they could just give her a promotional, like do a little promotional thing where it's like, okay, you promote this vehicle if we and we'll give you the vehicle. Or okay, we'll do it like a paid partnership and then instead of paying you, we'll just gift you the car. But then Risa came out with a video a couple days after BMW came with that video because, you know, everybody on the internet is like, oh my gosh, girl, like you're getting your car of your dreams, hopefully, or like something big is going to happen with BMW. Like, even if you don't get the car, like something is going to happen with BMW. So people are like hyped on the internet. Risa comes out with the video saying, yeah, it's not looking too hot. It's not looking like I'm going to be getting anything from BMW. BMW then takes down their video where they were like had alleged to that they were coming to help Risa with her issues. So I'm like, you were just trying to like utilize it, capitalize off of her like pain. And it's also again important to note, BMW's searches had increased by like a huge percentage. Just the Google searches for BMW Series 5X with Cognac, Midnight Blue with Cognac interior. That search on when Risa had dropped her series on February 13th had increased by like, by so much. I'm pretty sure, yeah, they'd also sold out. BMW had also sold out of the Series 5X Midnight Blue because of Risa and her story. Like people, it's obviously probably not just because of Risa and her story, but like people were probably who were in the market for a car, heard this story and probably looked it up and were like, oh my gosh, damn, like this is a sexy ass car. Let me go buy it. People probably referred to it. Like, I don't know how and why this happens, but something along the works had happened to where enough people were interested because of Risa's specific story, specifying Midnight Blue, Series 5, BMW, Cognac interior, had increased BMW's revenue, or searches, and traffic to where people had bought all of the cars. So I'm like, she's clearly giving y'all free promo. And I get it, BMW probably doesn't need promo, but like, the car wasn't sold out before she was announcing it, before she was talking about it. And like, also, Black History Month. And like, again, you started by capitalizing off of this girl's pain or trying to like insinuate something. Because again, if you look at BMW's previous videos, well, you can't look at it now because they deleted the video. But if you had looked at BMW's previous videos before that Risa Tisa video, their Risa Tisa video had done like 2 million views, 2 point something million views. Their previous ones had only done like at best 200,000 views. So again, Risa had 10x'd your views and sold out your Midnight Blue Series 5 cars, but you're not going to try and give her no compensation, especially during Black History Month. Again, I feel like I need a soundboard. I feel like an explosion in the background of that would have added like emphasis on how angry I am, because this is mind blowing. This is crazy, especially after knowing, if you listen to the story, how traumatized she was from that man. Because like, I'm serious, I'm not even kidding to you, like I've never, well, let me not say never, because I feel like I have dealt with a Legion in my life, but maybe not as like bad as the Legion in Risa's story, but like this man threw her for a loop. Like I actually ended the series questioning like how she's not questioning her reality. Like, how are you not going insane? How are you not going crazy? How are you still like able to deal with all of this? And I get it, by the time the story ended, like she had wrapped up everything with Legion. This was in 2022, so she had a couple years to heal. But I'm still like, girl, like damn, how crazy. I think that is insane. And BMW, you're insane and you're wicked for trying to capitalize off of this girl's pain. Crazy. Okay, so up next, we have a quick little song, Cardi B's. Like I mentioned earlier, Cardi B did drop a freestyle called Like What. Let's see if this is going to address some of the rap girly feud we got going on. No, I'm just playing. But let's give it a listen, and I will be right back with a new hot topic to talk to y'all about. I hope you enjoyed Popular by The Weeknd and Madonna featuring Playboi Carti, and Like What Freestyle by Cardi B. Again, I wasn't really listening too much to the lyrics like that because I'm not really trying to feed into the rap girly beef like that, but hey girl, the beat sounded nice. The beat sounded cute. It's good to see you're well. I'm glad Offset didn't get you down like that, you know, period. You a hot woman and a hot mama, so get it done, girl, period. So yes, the next topic is J-Lo. Wow, feels like we can't get her out of the media. She is like a bed bug. You just squish it and it just comes back for more. Comes back with vengeance. Comes back with tenfold. She did just come out with a This Is Me Now triple threat. She's a triple threat. She came out with a song, a dance, a movie, everything. She gave us an album, This Is Me Now. She gave us a movie, This Is Me Now. She gave us visuals to that. Like, it's, she gave us the full shebang, the full wow factor. J-Lo is another icon. I can't even give her props. She got her big break from her Selena movie where she played Selena Quintanilla. I believe that's how you say her name. She also did not sing a single song in that movie. So I just don't know why that's like the main push she's trying to do is singing. When, again, I don't think she's a bad actor. I really don't think she's a bad actor. When it comes to singing, I'm just a little bit disappointed. I also just feel like she's constantly trying to do too much. Like, I was very, very shocked. And I feel like this was such a short-lived topic in the media. I feel like this is a very big shock. Like, I was very shocked to see her perform at the Super Bowl. I was like, I did not know she was this big. Like, when she did her Super Bowl performance with Shakira, I was like, I did not know this girl was this big to where, like, she's going to be renowned like this. Like, she has, like, one song that I'm familiar with, and I'm pretty sure majority people are familiar with. But, again, that's just me, and that's just my perspective. But This Is Me Now is a ninth. This Is Me Now is the ninth studio album. Oh, ninth. Oh, damn. There's nine. Why did not know this? And I'm not even trying to diss, but okay. This Is Me Now is, I'm going to talk about the album first. Ninth studio album, and it was released on February 16th, 2024. The studio album was heavily inspired by the rekindling romance between Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. Are y'all a J-Lo and Affleck stan or a Affleck and Garner stan? Personally, I don't really care. Like, personally, I really don't care. Oh my gosh, y'all are fighting over a white man, like a middle-aged white man. Middle-aged women are fighting over middle-aged. Like, I just feel like you could find another him in Texas. I feel like a gruffy, hunky man, you could find like that in Texas. Like, let Jennifer Garner send out her assistant or something, or Jennifer Lopez send out. It's also like that they're both named Jennifer. Like, not to put my friend on blast, I'm not going to name him, but like, my friend also has an obsession with like girls named Brianna, and he's like talked to, messed with several women named Brianna. And like, I'm just so like, is this like a man thing? Like, why? Like, y'all just find one girl and just want to like duplicate her? Probably. I hope my ex thinks like that. Well, not ex, like, for real, but like, my ex talking to teachers, they'll think like that. If they're all like, oh my goodness, like, I need to find her again. Like, but you can't. I hope all of them listening here, you can't. And you won't. Sorry, back to the topic of discussion. But yeah, I don't really care who Ben ends up with. Again, Jennifer or J-Lo. When y'all go to Texas, you'll find a duplication right there. Promise you. it's again the rekindling of their romance and as well as their marriage, with themes of self-healing. Okay. It's a sequel to Jennifer Lopez's third studio album, This Is Me Then. And then her first studio album in 10 years since AKA, which she released in 2014. Didn't know that. 10 years out of the game, girl, damn. Should have hung it up. And this is not even no diss. You'll further see why I said she should have hung it up. It is the first album to feature, it is the first Lopez album to feature no rapper on its standard edition since 2001. Ray co-wrote and sang backing vocals on Dear Ben Part 2. Lopez contributed rap verses to three of the album's songs and co-wrote every one on the album, with production primarily from Rajet, Shahid, Jeff Giddy, and Angel Lopez. The reason I said sorry. Part of a three-part project documenting Lopez's love life reunion with Ben Affleck. This Is Me Now is accompanied by two further components. The musical film titled This Is Me Now, A Love Story. And then also a music video. The reason I had said in the beginning that she should have hung it up, because it came out, pop culture, I believe, posted that J-Lo's This Is Me Now album was the lowest rated album on Spotify from any mainstream artist in the history of Spotify. So yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel like that's a title I would want for something I poured my heart, soul, and $20 million into. I really wouldn't want to have that, hear that. Especially, yeah, just I would feel, I don't know. Like I said in the earlier parts, that This Is Me Now has three parts. The second half is a movie, This Is Me Now, a love story. It is co-written by Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, Dave Myers, and Chris Schaefer. And again, it's a explanation. It's a story about her love life, but it excludes her story about Ben Affleck, even though he is so heavily involved in this three-part project. I don't want to say three-part disaster, but it's because, again, she poured her heart, soul, and $20 million into it. So, this is loosely based on Lopez's own life as her trials as a serial romantic. It includes stars such as Trevor Noah, Jane Fonda, Post Malone, Kiki Palmer, Sofia Vergara. Why? That's my question. Why? What does she have on y'all that made y'all do this? Because if we also talk further, this was saving this for later, but I guess I can bring it up now. There are several artists that declined doing this show. Just to name a few, Jennifer Coolidge. That's actually surprising. One, again, another icon. She adds so much humor to so many movies that I feel like she would do almost any project. So the fact that she said no to this is crazy. Derek Hough. The only reason I choose to mention him, I don't even know who this is. Let me actually just look up what he looks like. But I don't even know who this is. But it's just funny because it was his wedding and she told him to miss it. Oh, he's cute. Oh, he's an American dancer and choreographer. Okay, he's cute. But she had asked him to miss his wedding, or implied that he should miss his wedding to Haley to come and film for this movie. Snoop Dogg, Taylor Swift, Jason Momoa, and Lizzo. But apparently Lizzo came out and said that, hey, she never asked me to be in this. Who knows? But yeah, those are just a few of the many celebrities that were like, I can't make it, or I don't want to. I don't want to, I feel like I don't want to be too negative on this girl's hard work, because again, heart, soul, and $20 million went into this, but I don't feel like I have anything positive to say. Let's see if other people have something positive to say. So the film, This Is Me Now, got a rating. It was produced on Amazon Prime. It got a rating of 3.6. So there's that. There's also a blind item. If you remember what blind items are, we talked about that last week, or my last episode. There was a blind item alleging that the Amazon execs are quite upset with the turnout of the This Is Me Now movie, because apparently investors who had to invest in her movie, because on top of the fact that she invested her own money, $20 million, into the project, obviously Amazon investors had to be like, hey, like, okay, you can bring it onto our platform, and we'll put up this amount of money for, as like a stake, I guess. I don't really know the execs behind the scenes. But again, allegedly, I'm just a reporter, she had said, or it is alleged that they are quite upset with the turnout of her This Is Me Now movie. But let's see what some positive people have to say. I'm going to read some positive reviews, because there's a few. There's actually quite a lot. There's 275 ratings overall, but there's some hard J-Lo stands, okay? There's some ride-or-die J-Lo stands. So, love the cultural connections made through visual imagery and the use of cinematography to bring to the screen a myriad of, oh my goodness, of metaphorical settings to deliver the age-old story of love, relationship, and the exploration of self-love through the unreserved lens of J-Lo, producer, writer, director, and choreographer. Love the subliminally woven messages, ad-lit script parts from the cheering sections of the Zodiac gods and goddesses, some of whom are on their own personal journeys to be open and vulnerable in believing in love everlasting. The parallels made to J-Lo's experiences, most of which played out in the media, are clear and unapologetic. So refreshing to see the links made to her songs on her upcoming album. Well done for her using the cinematic platform to promote one's artistic yet personal truths about the journey to find love. Although not a fan of the music yet, I did enjoy the interpretation and the internal struggles represented throughout each section in song and dance, embracing human fear, anguish, anxiety, being overcome to find love. I found the artistic creation leveled up from Rihanna's last Fendi fashion show extravaganza. Now that's another unique artistic creation. Bravo J-Lo for being willing to examine and explore your personal experiences, representing them on your own terms, and provide insight into your artistic passions. That was an amazing review. That was an amazing review. That was a phenomenal positive review. Wow. This is by Kim girl. Wow. There's a fair amount of like 5-star reviews. I enjoyed the creative and artistic, dramatic, comedic piece. I am now in love with the stories. Hence, huge wedding planner fan. This, I feel, was Jennifer's most creative and emotional project on screen. Been a fan since Fly Girl days, and being a fan of a former Brooklyn resident, who attended Bronx High School of Science, I have an affinity for Bronx natives. Kudos, Jennifer. Well done. Okay, period, Jackie. There's a lot of good reviews. This is a 2-star review from Ellie. Saw trailers for this movie, looked cool, just watched it. It ended abruptly, lol. I had to check the timestamp because I was like, that was fast. But it was There was a song every 5 minutes. Some were okay. Graphics were awesome and I loved the scenery, but I feel like some of the dancing scenes were odd. Like random people she didn't even know started dancing with her in weird moments, doing erratic moves, lol. Like at least in Greece, the people were busting out dances were all friends of the main characters. I don't know, that threw me off and I almost laughed. There was many moments that were supposed to be sensible, soft songs, and then she'd break out and rap. I'm sorry. And then she'd break out and rap to each their own, but it didn't seem to fit the storyline. The Zodiac's characters were also cringe. Now, I hate to be a negative Nancy, but I just kind of love reading like 1-star reviews. I refuse to watch any. Okay, this is a review by Popeye the Sailor Man. I refuse to watch anything with J-Lo. Even from the trailer, I could see this is going to be complete trash and another vanity project for her. She has no depth or any sense of what a real artist should be like. It is all false and self-indulging, indulging with J-Lo. Even her mother movie, she tries to be an assassin in full makeup and her long hair delivering cringeworthy lines. Her vocals have always been poor and sounding nasally through her songs. Her one-dimensional acting skills. J-Lo makes public statements that she gets told she can't do this and she can't do that. Well, she just doesn't get it. Believe it, honey, because you can't. You just are good at making money, that's all, with your branding, yet you're no artist. Without your branding, you're no artist. Even your dance moves are mediocre, like Britney Spears, and any 12-year-old can learn it with some rehearsals. Oh my goodness, this person's kind of going in. I feel like a lot of people's criticism of J-Lo, though, does stem, is honestly justified, because it's like, if you built your whole career off the backs of other people's vocals, off other people's, like, lyrics, off other people's work, and then you just ended up being the face, and then you want to paint it, and it's fine, say, like, the execs pushed you like that, fine, the media pushed you like that, okay. But then you also want to take credit knowing you didn't, but then you want to paint it as you did. That's also where people are like, okay, girl, like, because now we know, but then also you know, and now you're also trying to paint it as like we're dumb or something. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that justifies, because it's like, girl, like, if you didn't get your fame started from yourself, like, if you had to build your career off the backs of other people's vocals, I don't know. I just feel like that's like, So strange. So yeah, shout out Christina Milana and Ashanti, because y'all really put in that OT, that overtime. Pretty and paid. But again, I don't want to be negative about her and her hard work, because again, blood, sweat, tears, $20 million. Just so much went into this. And yeah, there's just a bunch of news articles. Sorry, I'm trying to read some of the news articles. Like, see, yeah, People magazine just reported 16 hours ago that Lizzo says nobody told her about the request to be in Jennifer Lopez's musical. Wow. It has a 4.6 on IMDb. So, I don't know. I love the fact that she is, one thing I'll give her is she's very persistent. Like, again, like a bed bug, she's very persistent. She's going to make sure she gets her time in the media. She's also like, what, 54? Yeah, she's 54. I just feel like, girl, give it up. Or I guess it's not even Lopez anymore, Jennifer Affleck. But girl, give it up. Like, we don't gotta, I don't know, I just feel like it's enough. Like, you don't gotta be doing all that. Like, just spend time with your kids, spend time with your man. You got enough money to retire. Like, it's clear the media's, you know, tired of Jenny from the block. So give Jenny time to rest. You know, Jenny made it up the block, okay? Jenny is not on the block no more. Okay, next in Trish Talk news is the Oscar nominations. Like I told y'all, there is always too many, like, award shows. I'm tired of how many there are. I'm tired of, there's just, again, so many. Like, we just have too many award shows that are going on, and it's too much to keep up with. But I'm pretty sure the Oscars are the last one before the Met Gala. But again, I don't think the Met Gala is, like, an award show. But, like, the next time the celebrities gather together. Anna, babe, if you're listening, my dress size is a 2, if not even 0. I could make it in time for a 0. I could, you know, starve myself a little bit, you know, diet a little bit to fit into a 0. And I get in my passport ready, so you can fly me out, girl. But in Oscar news, because, yeah, the next time we have another award show or time they gather together is the Met Gala. So I did want to talk a little bit about it, because even though it's kind of, like, underwhelming, because, again, I haven't really watched a single movie that has came out this year. I don't find any of them interesting. I can't even remember the last movie I saw in theaters. And as, like, I used to be a huge, like, movie theater goer, like, avid. Like, mom, it's a new movie that dropped. It's Friday. My brother and I are going on Thursday for the early premiere. Like, let's go. Especially Marvel movies, but that's a later topic that I'm going to talk about. But yeah, like, I just haven't been to the movies in a hot minute, but I do keep up on the net with, like, what movies are out and, like, what's coming out. I'm lying. I'm a fibber. I did go see Barbie. I'm in theaters. That's the last movie, I believe I went to see. But yeah, let's talk about some of the Oscar nominations. Again, yeah, they're quite underwhelming because there's just no, like, I really feel like this writer's strike is proving that, like, we need y'all. Like, we need these writers because we have nothing without them. Like, I was so, still am, so underwhelmed by so many of the movies that are coming out. Like, nothing looks appealing, especially from Marvel. Like, especially from Marvel as a Marvel girl. Like, as a girl who is, like, a lover of Marvel movies, Marvel comics, everything. It's just so upsetting to see them, like, not doing good. Like, not doing as good as they were. Anyways, whatever. Let's talk about some of the Oscar nominations. So, Best Picture. Again, I don't really know a single thing about any of these movies. So, Best Picture nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy... Oh, I have to sneeze. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Guess I didn't. Anatomy of a Fall... Again, I have no idea what that movie is. Barbie, again, expected. The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interests. Now, I'm going to give my vote, even though I haven't seen the ones. I'm going to immediately X off the ones that I haven't seen. And this is not to say that they're not deserving or that they, like, didn't earn it or nothing, but it's like, I feel like I would watch almost any movie, and if you didn't market your movie enough, if you didn't spend enough money on your marketing, that just clearly proves you didn't want enough people to see your movie, and then that's excluding your audience, like, that's excluding, like, a potential audience, and also, like, if your marketing isn't good, then, like, what's gonna draw me to your movie, you know, like, I don't know. Let me know what draws y'all to a movie. Like, what makes y'all interested in a movie? Is it if, like, there's, like, a big name actor? Is it if, like, the storyline looks good? For me, it used to be if trailers looked good, but then I just stopped watching trailers because I felt like trailers gave a, like, I don't know, nowadays I feel like trailers give away too much in the movies. Like, they just, like, it, maybe it's just because I'm a Marvel girl, but, like, I don't know, I feel like so much of, like, trailers now are, like, giving away so much major pieces of, like, the movie that I'm like, I feel like I can, like, piece together what's going to go on. And even if not, it's going to be, like, a plot twist, which, yeah, will probably be shocking, jaw-dropping, whatever. But it's, like, again, I'm so uninterested that I don't even want to go to the movies to see the potential, like, plot twist. Because you've given away so much of the plot that I'm, like, why am I going to waste my money, time, energy, all that to go just look for a plot twist? A potential one at that. But again, anyways, so I'm gonna immediately eliminate American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Holdovers, Past Lives and Zone of Interests. I'm gonna keep The Killers of the Flower Moon and Maestro only because I wanted to talk about these two really quickly before I eliminated them. If you guys are on TikTok and you know Straw Hat Goofy, he's in some hot water right now because he tried to do, like, a TikTok, because he's like, he's now trying to being pushed on, like, you know, being more of, like, a radio host, like, kind of similar to what I'm doing, but, like, on the red carpet or on, like, premieres and stuff. And he tried to do the, like, TikTok therapy trend where it's like, if when you go to therapy and then your card declines, so then, like, your therapist is supposed to give you back all of your trauma because your card declines. So it's like, you take it here, take it back, because I'm not taking this, you have no money. And he did something along the lines of that trend, but to this Killers of the Flower Moon. And Killers of the Flower Moon is a heartfelt, it's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. Real Love Crosses Path with Unspeakable Betrayals is Molly Buckhart, a member of the Osage Nation, tries to save her community from a spree of murders fueled by oil and greed. So it is a movie written by Martin Scorsese, that is talking about the Indigenous murders. And it is it's a very good movie that I'm, and again, pretty well acclaimed, 7.7 on IMDb. Yeah, about greed, greed, corruption, and all of that. So, but yeah, he tried to do a therapy trend on that. And it just, it didn't stick well. It came off as, you know, desperate for views, because it's like, well, what? And here, I'm gonna find the video just so I can read you. The actor's name is Lily Gladstone. So he said, when your credit card declines at therapy, so they send in Lily Gladstone to remind you of what happened to her family in Killers of the Flower Moon. And again, this is loosely true. Actually, you know, it probably isn't true. It is a true story. But it talks about the relations in the Osage Nation after oil was discovered on tribal land. The tribal members had retained mineral rights on their reservation, but a corrupt local political boss sought out to steal their wealth. So, you know, it's a touching subject, and especially that a lot of people who live on reservations can relate to having these things happen. Even if the story does not directly tie to someone specific, a lot of these people can relate to the fact that this has happened on their land or to someone in their family. And it just, again, came off as very, like, you know, desperate, and just not, it didn't stick well. And yeah, it just came off as very, like, desperate for views and insensitive. And because, you know, this is, it's not something to really, like, make a add to a trend to. Again, I'm not really too sure why people are upset. Like, I am sure why people are upset about it, but I'm like, I feel like, again, back to what I was saying, like, way before, when I was talking about Black history and Black people and how this Black History Month has been very, very bad for Black people. And again, it's, Straw Hat did this to himself, but it's like, I just feel like, especially on TikTok, like, we just get so mad at these Black creators when they do something wrong. And it's like, well, yes, 100% deserved, 100%, like, you know, like, he should be called out for it. Probably, like, a lot of these, this, if anything, this should be used as a learning curve to say, like, these TikTokers who we're giving platforms to, like, walk on the red carpet and interview, need to go through a little bit of media training, a little bit of training on, you know, how to interview, on what right things to post and what things will stick well with the internet, so you can avoid getting canceled and so you can avoid triggering people on the internet. I feel like these things should be pushed more. Like Emily Arubi, if you don't know on TikTok, she's also a girl who blew up on TikTok for doing fake interviews, like interviewing herself and like pretending she was on Jimmy Fallon and stuff. But now she actually goes on the carpet to actually interview some of these celebrities. And she's doing pretty well. I haven't heard anything about her, you know, like stirring up some controversy or saying anything or doing anything that's like controversial to the... any of the celebrities are saying anything. But it's like, I don't know, I just feel like these TikTokers, just because they're big on TikTok, like, they still shouldn't, I don't know, doesn't mean that they should, like, jump the line of, like, the training and stuff because they're big on TikTok. Like, you're big on an app, you're not big in real life. Like, you're big on one app, like, you're not big in real life. Like, in real life, you still have to work to get these people to still know your name. Well, yes, you'll still have real life fans. They're so far spread out and so far, like, probably immersed into the internet that they're not coming into reality. I don't know. Little rant. But I want to talk about the Killers of the Flower Moon before I eliminated it. Next, I want to talk about Maestro. I still think I'm saying it wrong, but Bradley Cooper. Do I think he's going to win a Grammy? Probably not. I mean, an Oscar, sorry. Probably not. I'm not a Bradley Cooper hater. I'm not. I did, like, what is it, Limitless? I do, like, The Hangover. I do, like, some of the movies he's in. But it's, like, all that. I just don't feel like a movie of that sort is up for, it's going to be what's going to win. My vote, my vote, the one I'm going to vote for, I feel like my reasoning behind it is quite justified, is quite justified. But, yes. So, I clicked the wrong thing. Maestro is a biographical romantic drama, that centers the relationship between a composer, Leonard, and his wife, Felicia. Oh, it's directed by Bradley Cooper and starring Bradley Cooper, or produced by Bradley Cooper and Martin Scorsese. Oh, wow. He's up 2 for 2. Martin Scorsese is up 2 for 2. Okay, period, King. And Steven Spielberg. So yeah, some pretty heavy hitters. Maya Hawke's also in this. Okay, period. Pretty good. It's a love story. Okay, and that's cute. It is starring an American composer, which I feel like it's just gonna put a different spin on, you know, what like love looks like from a different angle of like through me as a composer, how it felt for me to fall in love. Like, I don't know, I just feel like it's like, you know, we always get like the rom-coms and like, you know, the struggle love stories of like basketball and like, I don't know, if you're like a black movie connoisseur, you'll know, like, yeah, we're always getting like them struggle love type stories. So it's kind of nice to see like a different spin on like the rom-com films, or maybe not rom-com, but like romantic films. But yeah, I'm like, damn, you gave it your all, King. Like, if you've seen the clips of the movie, he's giving it his all in that part where he's orchestrating the band. So just want to talk about that before I eliminated it. So Killers of the Flower Moon is gone. Maestro's, I'm still probably saying it wrong, gone. The Holdover's gone. Anatomy of a Fall, gone. American Fiction, gone. And Past Lives, gone. And Zone of Interest as well, gone. So my win is not Oppenheimer. Sorry, it's one too much. It's too much buzz. I'm tired of it. Same thing with Barbie. I'm tired of it. It's a cool movie, but again, very, very surface level if you really think about it. Or don't even think about it. It's very surface level. And again, all of the buzz seems to just be around Ryan Gosling. Like, I don't know. I just feel like we're not really discussing like the for real stuff. So yeah, I'm an M plus. It's like, let's give something that just, you know, something, a different movie. My vote is Poor Things. My vote for win is Poor Things, with starring Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo. That's my vote for win. One, I feel like she put her heart and soul into this acting. Again, I didn't see it. I've only, again, seen clips. I've only seen clips for pretty much all of these movies. That's also another reason why I eliminated Barbie, because I've also seen the movie. So I feel like I was kind of biased to me, since I haven't seen the rest of them, but I'm eliminating Barbie. But for Poor Things, I don't know, seeing those like clips of it, I'm just like, so Poor Things is a 2023 film directed by Yorgos. Oh my goodness. These names. Oh God. I don't want to mess it up. That's my thing. Yorgos Lanthimos. I feel like I said that right. Yorgos Lanthimos. I feel like I said that. And it stars Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, William Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Christopher Abbott, and Jared Carmichael. Based on the 1992 novel, follows Bella Baxter, a young woman who comes to life through a brain transplant and embarks on the odyssey of self-discovery. So it's like Frankenstein, but a female POV. Like, what? Like, what? I don't know. I think it's like a cute little rendition on Frankenstein. Also, since it's like a movie, obviously, like that. But it's, I don't know, I'm just interested in it. And I think it's deserving. I think she put her all into it. I think every actor in this did. And I hope it wins. That's my vote. That's my nomination. Again, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the Oscars because I don't really care. I just wanted to use this as like a little cute topic talker. But yeah, and I guess in other news and talking about like film and television, the new Abbott Elementary episode had aired. And if you're a TikTok fan, you'll know that Casey, and I forget her name, but the girl goes, oh, oh, on TikTok. Let me look it up. So I'm giving y'all. So yeah, it's Casey Frey. And his character aspires to be like Tyreek. Tyreek Temple. Miss Teague's former boo. I think this is kind of interesting. I don't know. I like, sometimes I do like seeing TikTokers and like Viners back in the day and like musically stars and whatever kind of venture off into more mainstream things and be successful at it. Actually, there's a lot of positive talk about Casey and the, girl. Still couldn't find her name. Sorry. But there was a lot of positive talk that I've seen on the net saying that they did really well. They slayed their role. I know that girl, was a supply teacher. I don't believe they had gotten recurring roles, but she's a supply teacher for, or she had supplied for the school, but then she didn't get a recurring role. But again, I love seeing that. Like, same thing with Addison Rae in Thanksgiving. She did, in the She's All That, I wasn't feeling her too much, but in Thanksgiving, Addison Rae did do pretty well. I do like seeing TikTokers, Viners again, like I said. Be successful. Again, I wanted to, I don't know why I keep saying again. Like, I need to get a new soundboard for myself. Like, I feel like I'm, like, see, like, as well. I feel like I'm always using filler words. I don't know. I apologize. I'm going to have to end off this episode of Trish Talk pretty early. Just because, again, like I said, I wasn't feeling too well. And the sun is getting pretty bright. And it is affecting my eyes a little bit. So, I'm going to head on home and sleep it off. I did not shout out my socials like I should have done in the beginning. But if you've made it to the end of this episode of Trish Talk, shout out to you first. Thank you so much for being a supporter. I love you. I love you. It means the world to me when I'm big and when I blow up and I'm famous. We will be famous. I thank you so much for listening if you did. And if you're re-listening, hello. My name is Patricia. This is Trish Talk. Follow us on social media. Our Instagram is Trish Talk at Bulu or Trish Talk Bulu. Our Twitter is Trish Talk and TikTok is Trish Talk as well. There's absolutely no content up on there. I think actually on Instagram we have something, but I'm still in the works. I'm in recovery mode, y'all. I apologize. I'm trying to get as active as I can. I love you guys again. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are the best. I will see you all next Friday, same time, with a brand new hot topic for y'all. So I will leave y'all with some music. Actually, I probably won't. But keep doing you, keep being you. I love you, and I will see you same time next week. Bye.